It's time for the American Israelite program. It's the news of the Jews. I'm Malcolm Bernstein. We're going to start off with meeting the Federation's new young emissaries on both sides of the ocean. This fall, the Jewish Federation of Cincinnati is welcoming new young emissaries in both Cincinnati and Israel, a move that will deepen connections on both sides of the ocean. May Fromm and Daria Solomon, both 18 years old, will be serving the Cincinnati community as this year's Chaverim Mi'Israel, Friends from Israel. Fromm and Solomon are from Netanya, Cincinnati's partnership city in Israel, and were selected as the top two candidates from that city to represent Israel in Cincinnati. Both have chosen to defer their army service in Israel for a year in order to help the Cincinnati community form an increased awareness of and a connection with the land, culture, and people of Israel through education and interpersonal relationships. Ezra Babcock will serve as the Federation's Cincinnati Fellow in Israel, an American embassy who will spend a year in Israel teaching people about life, culture, and Judaism in the United States. He will be part of the Israel Teaching Fellows, the ITF MASA program, and also do programming through Partnership Together, the P2G, in Netanya. While helping teach English classes at a junior high school, he'll incorporate lessons on American culture, including holidays, through a Jewish lens. Babcock said, "I want to teach them about Cincinnati, Skyline Chili and the Reds, as well as the University of Cincinnati. But I also want to illustrate the wide variety of American Jewry and the different strains of Judaism we have here, the diversity of the Jewish community in America." Babcock is a recent graduate from UC, where he majored in electrical engineering and minored in mathematics. He grew up in Cincinnati and went to Walnut Hills High School. He had a typical Jewish upbringing, which included Sunday school and a bar mitzvah at Beth Adam. He has been to Israel on a birthright trip and through Onward Israel. He was also active in Jewish life on campus at UC, where he was involved with Cincinnati Hillel, the Alpha Epsilon Pi fraternity, and the David Project. In addition to increasing understanding of Judaism in America, he hopes to learn as much about Israeli culture. "I'm a food tourist," he said. "I enjoy getting to know a culture through its food. I love falafel. I can't get enough of shawarma, and nothing beats a great hummus. And I'm excited to live a Jewish life. Instead of a minority, I'll be part of the majority and won't have to seek out Judaism." Fromm lives just 3 minutes from the sea in Netanya. She's an avid surfer and surfing instructor, and she loves food. She lives with her parents, twin sister Gal, and her two dogs. Her majors in school were theater and biology. She gets inspiration from Israel actress Gal Gadot, qualities of whom she hopes to emulate. She knows this year will be a special experience and bring her new family and friends. She said, "I'm super excited to be here, and I can't wait to meet all the people in the community. I hope to bring my point of view and culture, and I hope to learn new things from Cincinnati, too. And, of course, have fun." Solomon grew up in Kfar Yona, a small town near Netanya, where she lives with her mother. Her family also includes her father and three half-siblings. She's passionate about the arts, both visual arts and music. She plays the piano, guitar, ukulele, and saxophone. She's part of the Tzofim, the Israel Scouts youth movement, where she explores Israeli culture and history and builds teamwork and leadership skills. She majored in physics and biology and is a part of a robotics team, which won the National Israel Championship several times. She hopes to deepen connections between Netanya and Cincinnati that will last a lifetime. "I'm really excited to be here," she said. "I already feel at home. I want to make meaningful connections and make people want to feel more connected to Israel." Fromm will stay with host families Chaim and Emily Cohen and Mason, as well as Ronan Isakov and Lara Danziger Isakov in Amberley Village. Solomon will stay with host families Jim and Pam Geller in Wyoming, as well as Jamie and Vanessa Kurtzer in Sims Township. The two will visit many schools and organizations throughout Cincinnati to help teach about Israel and help Cincinnatians develop connections with the country. They will have regular visits to Rockwern Academy in the area congregations, Sunday schools. In addition, they'll visit Jewish, public, and parochial schools in Greater Cincinnati. The Havarim Israel are guided by Jennifer Clark, who manages the day-to-day activities of the Young Emissaries and serves as their mentor throughout their year in Cincinnati. She said, "I'm so excited to help May and Daria bring their Israeli flair to the Greater Cincinnati community. They've already started to make an impact on our community with their enthusiasm and creativity. Each year, two amazing adults from Netanya come to Cincinnati to educate our children and teens in a fresh, fun way so that our children can better understand contemporary Israel and her many faces, accomplishments, challenges, and people." That was said by Barb Miller, Director of Community Building. She continued, "The volunteer and professional leadership of the Jewish Federation's P2G committee felt it was equally important for a Cincinnati young adult to live and work in Netanya in order to educate young Israelis about American Jews and the diverse ways we practice Judaism, create community, live our daily lives, and care about Israel." Over at UC, Judaic Studies is looking at hatred and hope, racism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. "We're living in a precarious time in American history," says Dr. Susanna Heschel. "Increasing incidences of hate have touched many different communities and threatened the pillars of our democracy. If hate is understood better than approaches to combat it, can increasingly become testable theories and then analyzed and improved. The result can have real-world impact, including creating models for changes in society, government, culture, and our individual and communal lives. Jews, Muslims, and African Americans each have traditions that seek to improve the world in which they live. The Judaic Studies Department at the University of Cincinnati is dedicating its annual Lichter Lecture Series to the problems of racism, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. The lecture series will discuss the intersection of Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and white nationalism and supremacy, and the impact of these hateful phenomena on our communities. Rather than offering the series' standard three separate lectures on a topic, this year's Lichter Lecture, entitled Hatred and Hope, Racism, Anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, What We Know, What We Can Do, will feature a panel of experts from 3 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 6th, at the Charles Phelps Taft Center on the campus of the University of Cincinnati. The panel will include Dr. Susanna Heschel, the Eli Black Professor and Chair of Jewish Studies Program at Dartmouth College, Dr. Kayla Wheeler, Assistant Professor of Aryan Global Studies and Digital Studies at Grand Valley State University, and Traig Turner, Chair of the Education Committee for the Cincinnati Branch of the NAACP. They will discuss these problems. The panel will be led by Hagi Lamour, an Emmy Award-winning journalist and anchor and currently Associate Professor of Electronic Media at the College Conservatory of Music. A bevy of experts from the University of Cincinnati will lead breakout sessions to discuss specific problems related to each and how people might work together to create positive change. Leaders from among these three communities will be invited to attend and offer their experience. The lessons learned and the plans which emerge will help educators, researchers, advocates, and others better analyze and combat hatred in its various manifestations to lead to communities being committed to peace, human rights, and justice. From Jewish Tikkun Olam and Islamic Isaiah to Martin Luther King's deep commitment to the repair and healing of the world, each of our traditions have something to offer this fractured world. Join us as we seek to enrich our understanding of these phenomena and to find common strategies to combat them. The event will be free and open to the public. Kosher refreshments are served after the event. A limited number of prepaid parking tickets for seniors and the disabled are available. You can contact Sonoke Hughes at the Judaic Studies Department for more information. Wonder Woman is Jewish. This superhero title does not reference the Israeli actress who portrayed Wonder Woman in the 2017 blockbuster, but rather Regina Jonas, the first female rabbi in Jewish history who paved the way for women in the rabbinate. Rabbi Jonas attended a liberal seminary in Berlin, Germany. After completing the rabbinic program in 1930, she was refused ordination until 1935. Her thesis, titled "Can a Woman Be a Rabbi?", stood the test of time, as told by two pioneering women who graced the stage at the Jacob Rader Marcus Center of the American Jewish Archives on September 17th, as they shared their stories of women in the rabbinate then and now. These heroic trailblazers, who were introduced and recognized for their legacy to Cincinnati's thriving Jewish community by William Weitzer of the Leo Beck Institute, were Rabbi Sally J. Presand and Rabbi Sonia K. Pills. Their journeys followed a similar path of their predecessor, with a few notable differences. Following his presentation of the Jacob Rader Marcus Award to Shira and Jay Ruderman for outstanding contributions to the study of the American Jewish experience, executive director of the Jacob Rader Marcus Center, Rabbi Gary Zola, recognized the Ruderman's efforts to deepen the understanding between Israeli women in the rabbinate and American Jewish leadership. He then facilitated the panel discussion in which the guest rabbis shared their personal stories and highlighted the risks Jewish women must take to become spiritual leaders in their communities. Although the rabbis took different paths, they agreed with Rabbi Jonas's words, "The world changes when someone takes a risk." Rabbi Presand, the first female rabbi in North America, who was ordained at Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion in Cincinnati in 1972, shared her story juxtaposed with the struggles faced by Rabbi Jonas. Both women were encouraged to pursue the rabbinate, yet overcame saboteurs along the way, were not immediately hired, and recognized a lack of female role models. Inspired by Rabbi Jonas, rather than fall victim, Rabbi Presand took the risks necessary to become a senior rabbi and said her focus was always about creating partnerships. She wanted to be Jewish with her congregants, not for them. She recognized female rabbis need the support of male rabbis, and this is true even today, especially if women want to move to senior positions. During the reception preceding the panel discussion, attendee Gretchen Johnson said she had a concern about gender-based partnerships in the rabbinate. "I've read a book titled The Sacred Calling, and I'm eager to learn about the wording on female rabbis' ordination diplomas. As I read, it's different than the wording on the male rabbis' diplomas," she said. Johnson shared her relief in knowing that there is now equality shown in the wording on all ordination diplomas. Rabbi Pills attended Abraham Geiger College, a rabbinic seminary in Potsdam, Germany, and also faced formidable obstacles prior to her ordination in 2015. Similar to the aforementioned, she too was held to a higher standard than her male counterparts and had few female role models. Nevertheless, Rabbi Pills said her biggest challenge was the 4 years dedicated to study and working in the community while pursuing a PhD and simultaneously working toward ordination. She never sought to become a congregational rabbi, which she suspected made her experience very different. Rabbi Pills similarly focused on partnerships, specifically the partnership between Germany and America. She said, "As Judaism began in Germany and Reform Judaism in Cincinnati, we should connect the two." A German-American grandfather who attended with his teenage granddaughter shared that sentiment and said, We are German and interested in the topic. We're not Jewish, but we need to continue to foster good relations. Let's go to our parsha for this week and to Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. Shabbat Shalom Ha'azinu, Deuteronomy 32:1-32:52. Rosh Hashanah always portends new beginnings and fresh opportunities. This day the world was born, or at least the world beckons with possibilities of rebirth and renewal. Hence, I would have thought that Rosh Hashanah, the day on which we enthrone God as Lord of the universe, and not Shemini Atzeres Simchat Torah, would be the festival on which we would begin the new Torah reading cycle of the year, the most apt occasion for reopening our book of books with, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And to do so would not even be much of a stretch. After all, we are certainly on target, having reached the last chapters of the final book of Deuteronomy during our regular Shabbat readings at this time of year. So why have our Talmudic sages ordained that we read of Isaac's birth and sacrificial binding on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? However, on second thought, I believe I understand the deep wisdom of our sages. Yes, Rosh Hashanah is probably the most universally oriented of all our festivals, and yes, the Jews of Israel have certainly returned to the global family of nation states after a hiatus of close to 2,000 years, taking center stage on the world arena. Nevertheless, the world which initially and most compellingly consumes most of our day-to-day thoughts and activities is the more personal world of our individual families. And perhaps on an even deeper level, the building blocks of every national society are the individual families within the country's borders. The nation of Israel emerged from the family of Abraham. Moreover, it is the family that is the necessary medium of communicating a specific national narrative from generation to generation. God elected Abraham as the first Hebrew because he commanded his own children and his household after him to observe, to be responsible for the path of the Lord, to do acts of compassionate righteousness and moral justice. Indeed, virtually all of our familial feasts and celebrations are dedicated to nurturing and transmitting our national narrative, values, and lifestyle to our children and grandchildren. From this perspective, since the road to new beginnings must be paved by acts of repentance, Rosh Hashanah ushered in our 10 days of repentance, we must concentrate our repentance and our resolutions for change upon our sins against family, spouse, and children, rather than our sins against God. It is easier and less personally threatening to objectively assess our personal standing before the unseen seer of the universe than before the parents, spouses, and children with whom we have personal dealings every single day. Permit me 3 stories. The Talmud in Rosh Hashanah 16, provocatively suggests that the various and numerous sounds of the shofar, call to repentance, are meant to confound Satan. Who is Satan? Another passage of the Talmud, Gittin 52, explains, "A certain couple lived in one dwelling together with Satan. Every Friday night they would argue with each other. Rabbi Meir entered the household and lived there for 3 consecutive Friday evenings until he made peace between them. He heard Satan cry out, 'Woe unto me, I have been forced out of the house because of Rabbi Meir.'" Satan is family discord. The Talmud further records in Brachot 8 the custom of one community that the morning after the wedding night, a friend of the groom would ask him, "Matzah or motzi? What kind of wife have you found? Which verse applies to you?" Is it one who has found matzah, a wife, has found only good? Or is it motzi, that more bitter than death is the woman? What kind of question is this? It decries all prohibitions against slander. How dare the friend ask and the groom answer concerning the wife he has just married? I would suggest that the friend is asking the groom about the groom and not his bride. Now that the wedding is over and your life together has just begun, who do you think about first when you arise in the morning? Is it the first one who has found matzah, from Proverbs 18:22, a wife, your wife with whom you are concerned about first, then you have found only good? But if it is, I find motzi, the verse from Ecclesiastes 7:26, if it is yourself that you think about first, then your life will be more bitter than death. When I was a young rabbi in Manhattan with a growing family, I got into a cab. During my conversation with the driver, a foreign immigrant who lived in a slum neighborhood, he told me that he'd been married to the same woman for 35 years, had 4 professional children, and had never been schooled beyond the 8th grade. "To what do you owe your incredible success?" I asked him. He explained, "As long as the children lived in the house, all of us had to be around the dinner table at 7 p.m. without radio, television, or newspaper. Everyone had to tell the best moment of the day and the worst moment of the day. That's how I brought the family together and was able to give over how important I think education is." I burst into tears. The taxi driver, who never went past elementary school, was much wiser than I. Shabbat Shalom from Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, Chancellor Emeritus of Or Torah Stone and Chief Rabbi of Ephrat Israel. This next story about bringing the holidays to the poor and elderly in isolated world communities just came to us, but you'll find it inspiring. In some poor European countries, gefilte fish is sustenance and a symbol of Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, Anna Kondrashenko prepares hundreds of dishes of gefilte fish for the elderly members of the dwindling Jewish community of Transnistria, a breakaway republic between Moldova and the Ukraine that is Europe's poorest country. The director of Chesed, the local aid office for American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, Kondrashenko prepares the dish in her own kitchen with family members who volunteer to help. Then she brings the dishes to the Chesed Center in the Transnistrian capital, Tiraspol, for the holiday feast. Rosh Hashanah without gefilte fish isn't Rosh Hashanah at all for the Jewish of Pridnestrovian Moldavian Republic, said Kondrashenko, using the region's official name. It's just a local custom. A sweet fish cake, often served with carrot, that is favored by many Ashkenazi Jews. Gefilte fish is often served at dinner on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year that began on Sunday night. Although in the landlocked countries of Moldova and Transnistria, it's more commonly served at the Passover Seder. Eating fish on Rosh Hashanah is an ancient custom that symbolizes life, fertility, and the Messianic age. But for the some 200 people who come to Chesed Center for its annual Rosh Hashanah dinner, almost all of them are elderly, extremely poor, and living alone, Kondrashenko said the fish is about more than sustenance or religious symbolism. It's a feeling of belonging, remembering the family they'd lost or that left, she said. For Jewish relief organizations, Rosh Hashanah typically entails a substantial logistical operation to help needy Jews. The Tiraspol dinner is part of a larger undertaking by the Joint Distribution Committee to provide more than 8,500 poor and elderly Jews in the former Soviet Union with special packages of food and traditional holiday items. In Transnistria, where elderly people earn social security stipends of just $70 to $100 a month, about half of the 1,500 Jews living there receive some assistance from JDC. Kondrashenko said, "Our clients tell us that if not for the aid we give them, they would not survive." But for many needy Jews, holiday assistance is about more than just survival. Many of those involved in the relief effort recognize that the provisions aren't merely about providing sustenance, but also a bit of sweetness. In Yekaterinburg, Russia, volunteers will be serving food to Jews in need, but with a personal touch. They will hand out challah bread and jam that they made themselves. In Kharkov, Ukraine, and Rostov, Russia, JDC volunteers will visit homebound and elderly Jews to deliver holiday packages and provide company to those without family to share the holiday. In Morocco, the Jewish old age home of Casablanca will host a holiday party for residents with local volunteers delivering holiday gifts to the elderly. In Berlin, Germany, 50 home-hosted meals will be organized by young adults throughout the city for anybody looking to connect and celebrate the holiday. Lynn Friedland is a volunteer who delivers holiday packages to needy Israelis funded by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. She said, "Meeting the souls in need of a smile, conversation as well as food, and giving all of that to them with love makes the world a better place." The Fellowship, an Israel-based organization that raises about $130 million annually, most from Christian donors in the United States, plans to distribute 1,200 gift packages, 17,000 food packages and clothing gift cards to poor Israelis in advance of Rosh Hashanah. The group has also made sure that 19 soup kitchens scattered throughout Israel will serve at least 1,500 people in need. For Vitaly Dmytrenko, an elderly Israeli man whose wife died a decade ago, it's the home visits on Rosh Hashanah by the Fellowship's volunteers that mean the most. "I'm thrilled every time that at each holiday there's someone knocking on the door and waiting with a wide smile as if he or she were one of my family members," Dmytrenko said. And that's all we have time for this week. Looking ahead at the calendar, Sunday is Erev Sukkot. That means that the first day of Sukkot is the 14th, and the 15th is the second day. Going forward to the following week, the 20th is the seventh day of Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah. The 21st is Shemini Atzeret, and on the 22nd, it is Simchas Torah. For this weekend coming, light your candles at 6:45 today, and Havdalah will be at 7:53 tomorrow. I'm Malcolm Bernstein. This has been the American Israelite program, The News of the Jews, and I'll be back with you again next week. Till then, bye-bye.